And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. You can take the podcast with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. For those that do listen live, we'll be starting the show a couple of minutes early over the next through the rest of this week. I've got a couple of early morning events to attend to. So for those folks that watch us live, for those on the podcast, same story. Show will be available each and every weekday morning. Well, the national attention continues to build across the state of North Carolina as we continue our coverage this morning of the horrific, brutal murder of a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee on a Charlotte light rail train back on August the 22nd. We've got some pretty big details this morning in terms of the feds stepping in on this situation. We'll get to that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. But before, we are finally now getting commentary from former Governor Roy Cooper. Roy Cooper was the Attorney General in North Carolina for 12 years before becoming the governor. Before that, he served in the North Carolina Senate. He has been a political figure in this state in some of the highest levels for the last 20 years. 20 years. He, of course, termed out and could not run for re-election in November of last year. As North Carolina is a term-limited state, you can serve two consecutive terms as governor. So, Roy Cooper decided that he was going to run for United States Senate. He is the leading Democrat frontrunner in the Senate race. Back on Friday of last week, Friday afternoon, there was a video released by WBTV Channel 3 in Charlotte showing surveillance footage of the murder of Arena Zaruska on that Charlotte light rail back on August the 22nd. Since that period of time, since Friday, there has been growing pressure and growing attention on the state of North Carolina on this murder every single day. And I thought by Wednesday, here we are midweek, that things would begin to kind of slow down a little bit, but that's not the case. They continue to ramp up each and every day. So back again on Friday is when this really the powder keg kind of kicked off with this story once the video was released showing the heinous and brutal murder. And Roy Cooper, who again had just been the governor for 8 years, served 12 years prior as the attorney general, the state's top law enforcement officer, did not have a damn word to say. Literally nothing. His social media account has been silent up until last night. The previous post from Roy Cooper that had nothing to do with this situation. He has been absolutely radio silent on the story. Up until last night, when he put this statement out on X, reading directly now from the former governor. The murder of Irina Zaruska is a horrible tragedy, and we must do everything we can to keep people safe. That's it. A sentence about the murder. He then transitions into talking about Michael Whatley by saying only a cynical DC insider would think it's acceptable to use her death for political points, especially one who supported cutting funding to law enforcement in North Carolina. He then followed that up by saying, I've been the attorney general and governor, dedicating my career to putting violent criminals behind bars and keeping them there. It's time for Michael Whatley and the GOP to get serious in Washington about funding our law enforcement, and that's what I'll do as senator. So that's it. And I tweeted out in response to this because of the lackluster response and the delay. Again, this was 6:41 p.m. last night. This has been a major national story all through the weekend, all on Monday, things got even hotter, and through the day yesterday. And it wasn't until 6:41 last night that Roy Cooper had anything to say. And really, all he had to say was, oh, it's a tragedy, and we must keep people safe. And then turns all of his attention, all of his focus to Michael Whatley and the evil, awful, terrible Republicans. Before we get into some of these federal charges announced yesterday by Western District Attorney Russ Ferguson, I just want to briefly comment on this concept that it is being used for political points. Now, this is I continually see this. I had a bunch of morons on X yesterday tell me that I'm politicizing the death of this woman and how dare I and so on and so forth. And I guess I just need to ask the question, if this is something that is being politicized, right, if that's the impression that we're under, if this is truly something that is being used for a political purpose, typically when something's politicized, you have two sides to the story, right? If you have a political issue, you have people fighting on one side and people fighting on the other. To me, that's a political issue. Right? We'll get into later this week a major debate taking place in the during the Wilmington City Council meeting yesterday about homelessness. That's a political issue. And you've got folks on the side of cleaning up the homeless problem in downtown Wilmington. And you've got folks on the side of essentially doing nothing, typical Democrat approach to the problem that exists. That's a political issue. And so if I'm supposed to believe and buy into the commentary here from old Roy Cooper about this being politicized, where are the Democrats coming out in favor of Irina Zaruska being murdered? Because every other political issue that I'm aware of, you've got people pretty squarely put on either side of an issue. And so I'm wondering this morning, and I'd love to ask Roy Cooper and folks on the left that are continually talking about how this is being hyper-politicized and it's being the MAGA train is taking advantage of this. We read the Axios and Politico headlines and stories yesterday saying just that. And so I guess it's fair for me to assume, if that's what Democrats want to claim, that those on the political left are on the side of the murder. That they are on the side of it was totally reasonable and a good situation that Irina Zaruska was murdered on a Charlotte light rail back on August the 22nd. Because that's the only way that this is a political situation. This is the only way that it's being used for so-called political points. So I guess that's where the Democrats fall this morning. Some of the other commentary I heard, I had somebody tweet me and say, you know, Nick, Roy Cooper doesn't have to comment on every story that exists. Why are you giving him so much grief? And I inherently agree with that. I don't think it's the responsibility of somebody like Roy Cooper, who is no longer the governor, to comment on every single thing that happens in North Carolina. That would be an unrealistic expectation. However, folks, this is an extraordinary story that we are watching. The state of North Carolina has not had this much media attention on an issue for at least the last decade, maybe longer. And so I think it's a fair assumption that the guy that served just recently, just up until early this year, served 8 years as governor, 12 years as the attorney general, and is now running to be North Carolina's next senator, one of two representing our state in Washington, D.C. I think it's a fair thing to request and ask a question as to why the response took so long. This is not some random thing happening across North Carolina that the governor, the former governor, is being asked to comment on. This is a story that has garnered so much international and national attention that it is being talked about almost every single hour on every cable news network across the country. It's definitely on Fox, and CNN has been talking about it pretty regularly as well. I'm not sure. Yeah, MSNBC, they're kind of in their own kind of universe and world over there. It's being talked about consistently. You've got the President of the United States talking about it. You've got members of Congress introducing bills dealing with it. You've got a polarizing issue that is shining a light nationally and internationally on the city of Charlotte, our largest city in the state, and is drawing severe criticism against elected officials. This is not just some random story that old Roy Cooper didn't comment on. This is a major, major political story. This is a major news story. And the governor, former governor, has been silent up until 6:41 p.m. last night. So yes, I believe that the guy that wants to be the next U.S. senator and was the top law enforcement officer for 12 years, and then the governor, has a ability and should be able to comment on a horrific situation like this. Call me crazy. Claim that I'm politicizing the situation if you must. I don't think that's too much to ask from Roy Cooper, who has spent his entire adult life being in politics at literally the highest levels of state government. So after days of waiting and waiting and waiting to see what old Roy would have to say, his response to me is pathetic, tone-deaf, and exactly on board with the other comments that you've seen from people like Josh Stein and other Democrats that have nothing to say. Because they know that at the end of the day, it's their policies, it's their platform, it's their ideas that have allowed a situation like the one in Charlotte to unfold. plain and simple. As I mentioned earlier in the week, this is a story where there's nobody else to point a finger at. There's nobody, there's no gun to blame. There's no NRA to blame. There's no terrible, evil, awful Republicans and their need and their want to be able to exercise their Second Amendment rights. There's nothing else to blame at this except for soft on crime magistrate judges, soft on crime city council and county commissioners, and woke prosecutors and judges in Mecklenburg County. There's nobody else. Lack of enforcement through cats on the light rail system. There's nobody else to pin the blame on except for themselves. So they're being silent about it, which is the original stance that Roy Cooper took. And then when they're not silent about it, they release no more than, 20 words on the story and then claim that Michael Whatley and the MAGA Republicans are not doing enough. They need to do more. That's it. That's all they've got. What are they going to do? Claim that their policies suck and don't work? I don't think so. So after days of waiting, Roy Cooper getting absolutely ratioed on Twitter, 3.5 million views, almost 6,000 replies, less than 1,000 retweets, and less than 1,800 likes. That is the quintessential definition for folks that are on social media and spend a lot of time there. This is the definition of somebody getting ratioed on social media. And I think this is a pathetic response from former governor, now turned Senate candidate, Roy Cooper. He's got smart people behind him. Roy Cooper's got a political machine that is going to try and get him elected next year. And this is, even for them, pretty pathetic and pretty low. So that's what we've got from Roy. I'm sure we won't see anything else from him as it's taken him that long to respond. And this is the best that he could come up with. So keeping our attention on that story, the feds are now stepping in. We heard yesterday from U.S. Attorney Russ Ferguson, who serves as the U.S. Attorney for the Western District of North Carolina that does encompass the city of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County. There was a press conference yesterday with Russ Ferguson. This is how he opened his commentary in Charlotte.
As a native of Charlotte, I'm so sad to say that our city has gotten to this place. I was born here. I grew up here. I remember when the light rail was built. I remember the development it spurred. I remember the excitement. And to think now that you can't even feel comfortable riding that train hits me deep. The light rail brought this city access to jobs, access to education. People could take the train to college. It really put Charlotte on the map. And this incident has really, really injured that. Now, to Carlos Brown Jr., who we allege stabbed Erna Sorutska, is in state custody on first-degree murder charges. But I'm here today to announce that we're going to supplement those state charges with federal charges. These federal charges will go alongside the murder case in state court, and we hope that they will ensure justice for Erna, for her family, and for the whole Charlotte community.
That's Russ Ferguson. Now, he went into a little bit more detail about what these federal charges actually are, what sort of federal code, what sort of things are the federal government, in this case, the DOJ and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Western District. What exactly are they seeking in this case?
The charge we are bringing is in Title 18, which is the criminal code. It's Section 1992A7, which is the law that Congress passed really for this situation. It is an act of violence on a mass transportation system. It is a law that is there because acts like this affect the American way. It affects our daily life. It is random acts on a train that are the thoroughbred and how we get through our cities to work, to our places of education, to our families. It is our way of American life. Crime makes people stop taking that light rail. They give up those opportunities, and we are here to be sure that we can save our city and bring those opportunities back. The maximum penalty for this federal crime is life in prison without parole or the death penalty. Of course, each individual case receives its own sentencing hearing by a federal judge that will decide the sentence based on the individual factors in this case. Of course, at this point, we're only making allegations. We do have a charge. We filed a criminal complaint. It has been signed by a federal judge. The charges have been brought, but they are just charges.
They are, in fact, just charges. It is great, however, to see the U.S. attorney stepping in on this situation, indicating that there are, in this case, talking about this federal code, Section 18 U.S.C. 1992, which does, in fact, talk about committing an act of violence which, of course, murdering and slicing a lady, a girl's throat on a train would absolutely fit the barometer there. That is enshrined in United States law, and that's what the attorneys are doing. And just kind of a recap on the timeline from the U.S. attorney.
And that is that at 9:55 on August 22nd, Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department responded to a call that there had been a stabbing on a light rail train. They located the victim, who had been suffered stab wounds in her neck, on her hand. They found a pocket knife on the scene, and they apprehended the defendant at the rail stop. Now, much more recently, the surveillance video was obtained from the train, and that's really what gave us the basis for federal charges here. And the surveillance video shows Irina Zarudska getting on the train by herself in her work uniform, sitting down by herself in a row that just happened to be in front of DeCarlos Brown Jr. Approximately 4 minutes later, Mr. Brown pulled out a pocket knife. You see him on video open that pocket knife, and he stabbed her 3 times in the neck. He then walked off the train with blood dripping from the knife.
Now, that full video was released. It had been making its way around social media yesterday. I'm not going to show it to you. If you're interested in it, you can go out and find it. I don't think it changes the story in any meaningful way. We all know what happened. It was obvious from the more censored footage from WBTV what happened. And in the immediate aftermath, you can see her in complete and total shock. You can see Irina Zarudska not having any idea as to what has just happened to her, only for just a short minute later for her to fall to the ground and then continue to bleed out on the Charlotte light rail. And there's been some interesting commentary online, and I understand where it's coming from. There were bystanders that watched this happen and did nothing. And there's been a lot of criticism of those individuals. And obviously, I understand it. You're watching a woman get attacked. You're watching a woman literally have her life ripped away from her by some scumbag who, of course, due to Democrats' soft-on-crime policies, was allowed to roam the streets in the city of Charlotte. No issue there at all for those on the progressive left. But, you know, I'll just say this. There have been so many cases over the last 15 or 20 years where bystanders step in and insert themselves in a situation only to have the federal government go after them. Look at the Daniel Penny case in New York City, right? He stepped in. He stepped in when an individual who was cracked up out of their mind was assaulting people on a New York City subway, and the federal government tried to ruin his life. And so, yes, from a pure humanitarian and looking after your fellow citizen standpoint, I get the argument that, oh, well, the people on the train didn't step in. I get that. But folks, we live in a time right now where when you insert yourself into a situation that has nothing to do with you, you risk life ruination at the hands of the government. You risk, and of course, these people on the train have in real time have no idea what's happening. You risk becoming a victim yourself. And that's a really heavy burden to ask people to insert themselves into. And yes, I understand that we should look after our fellow man and woman. We should step in when we have the opportunity to help people. I'm not saying that we just need to, we see bad things happening and we need to turn and walk in the other direction. But don't for a second think that that's not on people's minds. They've seen what has gone on. They've seen when people insert themselves, what the end result can be. And it's unfortunate that that's happened, because I believe that's a large reason why people just turn the other direction and walk away. They don't want to risk being involved in a case like that, even if it can mean saving somebody's life. And that's the really sad tragedy of the societal times that we live in, that there's a risk that if you step in to help an innocent bystander, you yourself could fall prey. You yourself could fall victim to maybe the crime itself, or if not, some sort of later prosecution for your actions. Again, as all of this is happening in the span of just a couple of minutes, there's no hindsight. There's no idea of who this person is in real time, so on and so forth, right? This is a very dynamic, fluid situation that's unfolding. People have no idea in real time what exactly is going on, including in this case, it appeared Irina Zarudska. And as we are hearing from Russ Ferguson this morning, the U.S. attorney out of the Western District, he got pretty choked up when talking about this situation. And it makes sense. He's a lifelong Charlotte native. He spends a lot of time and grew up in the city of Charlotte. Here's Russ Ferguson.
But this is why federal statutes exist. They exist to take care of situations like this, because no one should sit in fear when they sit on the light rail. If you sit in fear on the light rail, you sit in fear when you walk around the streets of our center city like I do every day. You sit in fear when you go to our parks, like I do with my daughter every weekend. You sit in fear at our sporting events, our entertainment venues, at concerts, at restaurants, at our museums. These are all the things that we have worked as a city so hard to build. We built this city. Companies have come here in droves. More than 150 people move here every day. We built a city that people want to live in, but we can lose that all if we allow violent crime like this to go on in our streets. And I'm here to tell you, the federal government is going to save our city from that.
And that's exactly what I think the American public is asking for, contrary to commentary from Roy Cooper and other folks on the political left that want to claim that this is being politicized by the right. It's not being politicized at all. People want to feel safe in their cities. People want to feel safe in their communities. They want to be able to jump on the light rail, which is a service that is offered to residents in the city of Charlotte. They want to be able to walk in their downtown areas without the risk of being mugged, assaulted, stabbed, shot. Regardless of their racial background, their political background, their gender, their age, none of that matters. Every single person wants the place that they live, the place that they work, the place that they play to be safe. They want to feel comfortable. They don't want to have to constantly be looking over their shoulder, wondering if the guy standing on the corner is going to jump up behind them when they walk by. Nobody wants that. And I'm glad that the Department of Justice, under the leadership of Pam Bondi, I'm glad that under the direction of Russ Ferguson out of the Western District of North Carolina, that they're saying enough is enough. We're going to hold these individuals accountable. We're going to go after, as you heard from Russ Ferguson, the maximum penalty for this is life in prison without parole or the death penalty, which it would not surprise me in the slightest. And of course, this comes way down the line. It'll likely be years from now. But when the sentencing, when this all takes place and a conviction sentencing, that the United States government doesn't go after the death penalty. That would be very interesting to see. So that's the big news. That's the big update in this case. The Western District of North Carolina, Russ Ferguson and Attorney General Pam Bondi announcing that they are seeking federal charges in this case. However, that was not all of the news yesterday. President Donald Trump commenting on this, as well as Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt, absolutely torching Roy Cooper, Josh Stein, and Democrats in North Carolina. Plus, there was an election last night, primary elections in the city of Charlotte. I'll have some of those results as it relates to this case coming up as the Nick Craig Show rolls on this Wednesday morning. Before that, I do want to thank our great advertisers that make this show possible each and every weekday morning. And I want to tell you about the Law Group. When legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in Melissa Godd and the great folks over at the Law Group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across the eastern half of our state. Whether you're facing a divorce, maybe you're looking at a real estate transaction, or maybe you're in a case where you need a strong defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Great news, folks. They're located in downtown Wilmington and just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call this morning, 910-251-6088, or their website, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. I had the pleasure of working with Melissa Gott and the folks over at the Law Group now 5+ years ago when I went through the process of purchasing my home. Phenomenal experience. Reach out to them this morning, lawgroupnc.com or 910-251-6088. We'll continue our coverage on the Charlotte murder back in late August coming up after this as the Nick Craig Show rolls on live this Wednesday morning, streaming on YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and of course available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show. Don't forget, if you are interested in getting a bonus content, including daily show notes and more, you can head on over to patreon.com/Nick Craig and support the show financially. $5, $10 a month if you believe that you are getting some value from the weekday program, patreon.com/Nick Craig. Thanks to our great Patreon members on there. One of the other perks and benefits coming up here later this month, we do a monthly Zoom call reach out for a couple of hours about the politics and news of the day. All of that available, patreon.com/Nick Craig or nickcraig.com, and click on the support tab. We are continuing our discussion this morning on the federal charges being introduced in the case against an individual by the name of DeCarlos Brown Jr. He is being alleged and is seen in surveillance video pulling out some sort of Swiss Army pocket knife and stabbing 23-year-old Irina Zaruska in the neck three times on a Charlotte light rail back in late August, back just about 3 weeks or so ago, generating an incredible amount of national attention. And folks, you know, I'm seeing some comments in our chat this morning about voting, elections, the importance of local elections. There was a primary in the city of Charlotte last night for their elections coming up later this year. And lo and behold, look at the results. Vi Lyles, the current mayor of Charlotte, this happening all under her watch, received 70% of the vote in the Democrat primary, and she will be the Democrat candidate for mayor coming up later this year. The turnout, less than 8% in the city of Charlotte for their municipal elections. Now, again, these are primaries in an off-year cycle. I get that. But well, we've got elections coming up later this year in the city of Wilmington. We'll be getting into those details as the months roll on and we get closer to the November election. It's a sad state of affairs. And the pressure is so severe for Vi Lyles that she hosted no victory party last night, no watch party with no media at all. That's how severe the media attention is. And of course, a lot of it is coming from the top down. President Donald Trump releasing a lengthy video yesterday, or about a 2 minute or so video, on the official White House Twitter account talking about this situation and wanting to clean up a crime across major Democrat cities in the United States.
For far too long, Americans have been forced to put up with Democrat-run cities that set loose savage, bloodthirsty criminals to prey on innocent people. Really, very, very innocent people. In every place, they control radical left judges, politicians, and activists, and they've adopted a policy of catch and release for thugs and killers. In Charlotte, North Carolina, we saw the results of these policies when a 23-year-old woman who came here from Ukraine met her bloody end on a public train. And here's a picture of it. This is the picture of it. And this is a picture of the woman. A beautiful young girl that never had problems in life, with a magnificent future in this country. And now she's dead. She was slaughtered by a deranged monster who was roaming free after 14 prior arrests. We cannot allow a depraved criminal element of violent repeat offenders to continue spreading destruction and death throughout our country. We have to respond with force and strength. We have to be vicious just like they are. It's the only thing they understand. 24 of the top 25 most dangerous cities in America are run by Democrat mayors. 50 people were murdered in Chicago in recent weeks, with hundreds being shot. And it's time to stop this madness. The people of our country need to insist on protection, safety, law, and order. We have proven that it can be done because we did it right here in D.C., in District of Columbia, the capital of America, was a bloodthirsty, horrible, dangerous place, one of the worst. And now it's a crime-free city, and we're going to keep it that way. It can be done. It can happen fast. All we want is, please, Mr. President, we need help. Chicago needs help. Other cities need help. We'll do what has to be done because we're going to make America safe again. And that includes our big cities. We're going to make those cities safe. Thank you.
Some interesting commentary there from U.S. President Donald Trump saying that we need to be vicious. They're vicious. And it's the only thing they understand. I thought that was an interesting kind of way to describe this situation that unfolded. And, you know, the United States is, as you saw with, as we talked about earlier, the charges from Attorney General Pam Bondi, Russ Ferguson, the United States is not going to allow, or at least attempt to not allow, this situation to get out of control. They are going to make it incredibly clear that if you are a violent criminal in a city like Charlotte or anywhere else across the United States, and you are going to be a perpetrator of crime, that hell is going to rain down on you. And the full weight and full resources of the United States judicial system will be used against you. They're going to be vicious about it. I like the phrasing and the framing there from President Donald Trump saying it's the only thing they understand. It's a very good point. Getting some other commentary in on our live chats this morning, YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Comment coming in from Jay Hills. It says, I feel like if it weren't for social media, this story would have been buried and not covered by the mainstream media. How long have we been lied to? You know, it's an interesting point you brought up. And I was thinking to myself yesterday as I was watching the new footage that was released showing literally the moment that Irina Zaruska was stabbed in the throat three times by this scumbag in Charlotte. And of course, it was on Twitter. And I thought to myself, had Elon Musk not purchased Twitter and changed its name to X, I'm not sure that we would have seen that video. If the group and Jack Dorsey and the folks that were in charge of Twitter beforehand, if they were still in charge, I don't think that we would have seen that coverage. I don't think the kind of posting that you've seen, people shining a light on the magistrate, who, by the way, is not even an attorney, has not taken the bar exam, has no training in being an actual attorney. The magistrate in Charlotte, pressure coming up on her this morning, and all of the other commentary that you've seen, I'm not sure that you would have seen that on social media. And the comment about, I'm not sure it would have been covered by mainstream media, I think you're absolutely right. And it really goes to show you the power of social media. It really goes to show you that in years past, essentially prior to Musk's purchase of Twitter, that if something was censored, if something was not allowed to grow organically, which is what this story has done, how many other stories were not covered by the media because there was no outrage on social media? There is absolutely no question about it that social media, predominantly X, played a large role in why this story is getting so much national attention. Starting on Friday afternoon, this video was plastered everywhere on my X feed. That forced politicians to speak up on it. And once politicians speak up on it, you've got a large kind of large noise being made about it. It's not long before the media has to jump in. And that's exactly what you saw in the latter parts of this weekend and into the early parts of this week. And a lot of that is because of, I think a large part of that is because of X. That the video, as graphic and as violent as it is, that video was allowed to be shared. And everyday American citizens were able to see the carnage, see the horrific situation, picturing their daughter, their son, their niece, their nephew, their relatives, their wife, sitting on that Charlotte light rail and having their lives literally taken from them in the matter of minutes for doing nothing wrong, no fault of their own, sitting there on their phone, leaving their shift, their job, minding their own business, just trying to get home safely, only to have some deranged lunatic that should have been in prison, should have been incarcerated, or if not, thrown in a mental institution, take a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee's life. And it's, I think, a large part of it is social media. Great comment, Jay Hill. Greatly appreciated. Really solid analysis and rundown of that situation. And it's forced CNN and MSNBC and all the other news networks. It was the lead story on NBC News last night. They have no choice but to jump into this story now because the public outrage and the public outcry is just so extensive. So as we continue our coverage of this, the White House press briefing took place yesterday afternoon. Caroline Leavitt briefing the media, and she opened up exactly what you would expect, the story in Charlotte. Let's take a listen.
Today, I would like to address the tragedy that has not received nearly enough media attention, the brutal murder of Irina Zaruska. Here are the facts that many outlets have shamefully and intentionally failed to report until President Trump drew attention to it. On August 22nd, Irina Zaruska was stabbed to death on the rail system in Charlotte, North Carolina, by a savage career criminal. This is a public transportation system that many in the area use every single day to go to school and work. Irina was on the train that night traveling home from her job at a pizzeria, still in uniform from her shift. This beautiful, innocent 23-year-old young woman was a Ukrainian refugee who had recently fled her country for a chance at a safer life and a promising new beginning here in the United States of America. But tragically, a public transportation system in a major American city was more dangerous than the active war zone that she left.
Just think about that for a second. The point that Caroline Leavitt just made. She left. She was previously living in a bunker in Ukraine. Came to the United States to try and escape her war-torn country. Came to the United States, was working multiple jobs to try and assimilate into the United States, to provide for herself, to pay her rent, to buy whatever luxuries and things that she wanted. And Charlotte, North Carolina ended up being more dangerous than her home country, the war-torn nation of Ukraine. Just let that sink in for a second. If that's not the most damning situation that you've ever heard, it is absolutely remarkable. It is so incredibly disturbing when you think about that. I'm glad the press secretary pointed that out.
The president and the entire White House are praying for her family and friends during this unimaginably difficult time. But while we extend our thoughts and prayers, we must also seek justice for this crime and call attention to this heinous incident. Surveillance video of the killing was finally released to the public this past Friday. It shows the alleged killer, DeCarlos Brown Jr., pull out a knife, get up from his seat behind Arena, and prepare to thrust a blade into her neck before the released footage gets cut. This is pure evil on full display. The most enraging and unacceptable part of this story is that her death was entirely preventable. DeCarlos Brown never should have been on that train that night. In fact, he should have been behind bars. DeCarlos Brown has been charged with crimes no fewer than 14 times, dating back to 2011, including for armed robbery, felony larceny, breaking and entering, and shoplifting. Brown had previously served 5 years in prison for a robbery with a deadly weapon charge, and he had also forfeited bonds three different times, twice in 2014 and once in 2023. Despite all of this past documented criminal history, when Brown was arrested yet again in January of this past year, a Democrat judge, who will I will add was a supporter, a strong supporter of former Vice President Kamala Harris, released this insane criminal once again without requiring him to pay any bail.
I'm going to go back to something I mentioned earlier this week. This comes back to the discussion and the conversation about compassion. Right, because this is all you hear from those on the left. This guy, he's mentally ill. He's struggling with this. He's struggling with that. He's homeless, so on and so forth. All of the things that they can do to try and build sympathy for an individual like DeCarlos Brown Jr. And in an attempt to be sympathetic to his situation, in an attempt to be sympathetic to his mental illness, his status as a homeless individual or an unsheltered, as the left likes to call it, because saying homeless is just too damn offensive. In an attempt to be compassionate, they released him on no cash bail, a written promise that he would return, only for months later, him to then ride a Charlotte light rail without a ticket and murder and kill a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee. And so why is the reaction that you're seeing like this coming out from the left? It's because there's no defense. As I mentioned earlier, this idea that the whole thing is being politicized by those on the MAGA right. Where's the left's defense of this? Are you guys okay with this taking place? Are you on the opposite side of the issue than I am? Are you okay with Arena Zaruska's murder? Are you okay with DeCarlos Brown Jr. consistently being arrested and consistently being released by left-wing prosecutors, by a magistrate who is not even a freaking judge? Are you guys okay with this? It appears so. If you're calling it a political issue, then you must be on the opposite side than I am. Good to know. And so when you hear people like President Trump, when you hear people like we'll hear from Destin Hall and some other folks coming up later on as well. When you hear from them and they say this is completely preventable and was completely avoidable, they are 100% spot on accurate. More from the press briefing room yesterday.
He simply had to sign a written promise to return for his court hearing. Think about how crazy it is to ask a career criminal, someone who by definition repeatedly breaks the law, To just sign a written promise and come back again another day, this is madness. This monster should have been locked up, and Arena should still be alive. But Democrat politicians, liberal judges, and weak prosecutors would rather virtue signal than lock up criminals and protect their communities. And perhaps most shamefully of all, the majority of the media, many outlets in this room, decided that her murder was not worth reporting on originally because it does not fit a preferred narrative. Many of the journalists in this room spilled plenty of ink trying to smear Daniel Penny for defending a subway car from a deranged lunatic in New York City, but none of those same reporters lift a finger to write stories about an actual murderer. Here is the truth that every American must know. Too many innocent people across the country continue to pay the price of the failed experiment known as cashless bail that has been championed by the Democrat Party for years. All the way back in 2020, North Carolina's then Democrat Governor Roy Cooper established a so-called task force for racial equity and criminal justice. Sounds nice, but it's not. That task force was co-authored by then Attorney General and current Democrat Governor Josh Stein. It recommended, quote, reimagining public safety to, quote, promote diversion and other alternatives to arrest. It also advised to de-emphasize some felony crimes, prioritize, quote, restorative justice, and eliminate cash bail.
Bingo, 100% right. We played the clip yesterday, 2020, in the wake of George Floyd's situation in Minneapolis. All Democrats across the country, Josh Stein, Roy Cooper here in North Carolina, releasing these heartfelt posts on social media about George Floyd, the wonderful guy that he was, and how his life was taken at the hands of Derek Chauvin. Lengthy posts. Roy Cooper wrote a freaking book about it practically on social media. And all the now former governor has to say about the situation in the state where he was the governor for 8 years, the attorney general for 12 years prior, previous to that in the North Carolina Senate, all he's got to say about a 23-year-old being murdered in the state's largest city is, quote, the murder of Irina Zaruska is a horrible tragedy and we must do everything we can to keep people safe. That's all he's got? That's the best that he can come up with? Before then, of course, turning his attention to Michael Whatley and the terrible things and all and the terrible person that Michael Whatley is. That's all he's got. It's a completely ridiculous situation. You want to don't believe what I'm saying? Here we go. Here's Roy Cooper's post about George Floyd's death in 2020. I am here today to talk about the calls being sounded right now across the country, the state and the country to stamp out the persistent and ugly flames of racism. The unjust killing of George Floyd less than a week ago, combined with many other recent and distant events, broke open painful wounds. These scars mark generations of trauma that Black people and other communities of color continue to suffer. Trauma that has too often gone unrecognized in our country. It goes on and on and on and on and on. That's what Roy Cooper had to say about George Floyd in Minneapolis. Yet, all he's got to say about a 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee being murdered in his home state is, oh, it's a tragedy. Got to keep people safe. What a scumbag. And this is why people have no trust in the left. And as Caroline Levitt mentioned, used the word, and it's really accurate to describe here, it's just virtue signaling. That's all. So in the wake of George Floyd, we created this racial justice task force under Josh Stein here in North Carolina. We're going to look at cashless bail, restorative justice, all of these great political talking points on the left. And this is the end result. A 23-year-old girl murdered on a Charlotte light rail because in part of restorative justice. So hopefully Roy Cooper and Josh Stein are patting themselves on the back this morning for the great work that they've done.
Democrats in North Carolina and nationwide are consumed with pushing a woke, soft-on-crime agenda, no matter how many innocent Americans suffer as a result. Instead of aggressively prosecuting and locking up violent criminals, the Democrat-backed cashless bail approach lets these criminals roam free in our country to offend again and again. These reckless policies have turned too many of American cities into hunting grounds for career criminals who mock our justice system, drain law enforcement resources, and wreak havoc on law-abiding citizens. Enough is enough, and that is why President Trump is doing everything in his power by taking action to undo these absurd policies. The president recently signed a powerful executive order directing the AG to submit a list of states and local jurisdictions with cashless bail policies so that the Trump administration may identify federal funds that are being provided to these states and can potentially be suspended or terminated. President Trump firmly believes that to maintain order and public safety, we must incarcerate individuals whose pending criminal charges or criminal history demonstrate a clear ongoing risk to civil society.
Wow, what a radical idea. Incarcerate people that are deranged, mentally ill, violent criminals. Real radical stuff there from the president, right? God forbid we'd hold people accountable for the things that they do. God forbid we'd hold people accountable for their actions. But no, we'll talk about restorative justice, cashless bail, systematic racism, and all of the other great things that Democrats talk about. As the reaction continues to flow in, House Speaker Destin Hall, he's the top man in the North Carolina House, was on with Will Cain yesterday on the Fox News channel. This is this is the back and forth between Will Cain and Destin Hall. Take a listen to this.
Well, Will, thank you for highlighting this tragedy in North Carolina. And I think the only answer to your question is it's due to these left-wing defund the police policies that we see in places like Charlotte. You know, we have a Republican state legislature in North Carolina, yet if you look at the Charlotte City Council and the Mecklenburg County Commission, it's made up overwhelmingly of Democrats. And they all have soft-on-crime policies. So we're looking right now at each one of these cases where this person was released time after time again, 14 arrests. He never should have been on the train that night when he ran into an innocent victim who he simply slaughtered on this train. It's almost beyond belief that it can happen in this state, and to think that this young lady was safer in a war zone, literally a war zone in Ukraine, than she was in Charlotte, North Carolina.
That is absolutely incredible. What can you do at the state level to override these policies at the local level in these cities?
Well, Will, we're looking at a number of different options right now. We're looking through the city of Charlotte's budget, looking to see where the funding is going. We've heard reports that some of the left-wing social justice warrior groups have been giving money to the county to do things like keep people out of the jails, the exact opposite of what we need to be doing in these sorts of situations. We're also taking a look at the magistrate who released this person when he was most recently charged prior to this murder, and looking to see how is it possible that a person who was obviously mentally ill, a violent criminal who had been to prison before, yet was being charged again, was allowed to walk out of the jail with simply a written promise to appear. He just promised that he would show up to court, and the result ends up being deadly. And so we're going to take a look at that pretrial procedure in particular in Charlotte to make sure that this is not happening, because the fear is, you know, for this young lady, unfortunately, and her family, it's too late. How many more people just like this monster who they let out? How many more people are roaming the streets of Charlotte today because of these magistrates and judges and a local prosecutorial system that lets people like this person walk out of the jail? We're looking at that very closely and very urgently because you can see, as this case shows, it puts it in stark contrast just how deadly it can be.
All right, Destin Hall, Mr. Speaker, thank you so much for your time.
That's, House Speaker Destin Hall on with Will Cain yesterday on the Fox News channel. And it's funny because I posted this clip and I got some responses from the political left, a bunch of moron liberals on Twitter. And they were saying to me, well, you know, the Republicans are in charge of the General Assembly. So if they want things to change, well, they should have done it over the last 15 years. And to that I say, you know what? Fine. Normally, in a state like North Carolina, where you've got Republicans in control in the General Assembly that believe in limited government, they leave municipalities like Charlotte, like Asheville, like Raleigh, like Wilmington, and other places to govern themselves. But since you guys are incapable of doing that, and you now want to blame the Republicans in the General Assembly for the crimes and the evil and terrible decisions by those elected officials in Charlotte, the city of Charlotte, and in Mecklenburg County, I say, fine, touche. So it is time for the North Carolina General Assembly, when they're back later this month, to start rolling up into cities across the state that have disastrous policies like this and stripping them of all their state funding. You guys want to talk about government overreach? You want to say that the General Assembly needs to do more? I can promise you, you won't like the end result of that. I can promise you, you're not going to like when the state says you are not getting another freaking red cent from the state of North Carolina until you clean up your act. You want to put the blame on the General Assembly? Fine. Watch the end result. I can promise you, you are not going to like what ends up happening. You are not going to like what the end result is. So that's fine. You want to blame the Republican GA? That is totally fine. That's your prerogative to do so. I hope Destin Hall and Phil Berger start rounding up people across the state, going into cities like Charlotte, throwing the book at them, and taking every single dollar that they get from the state. And then you guys can bitch and moan and complain and scream about government overreach and the authoritarian nature of Republicans. Then you guys can scream about that too. I'm over it. I don't really care. These policies are exclusively at the hands of Democrats. This death is exclusively at the hands of the magistrate judge, Mayor Vi Lyles, and the rest of the Democrat Charlotte City Council and the Mecklenburg County Board of Commissioners, Katz, and everybody else involved. And what is the one constant in all of this? They're all Democrats. They all believe in virtue signaling and gaslighting those on the radical side of the political left. The way left side of the political aisle, they want a virtue signal to these folks to keep them in their good graces, and they've done so. And the end result is 23-year-old Ukrainian refugee Irina Zaruska is dead. So congratulations. Give yourself a nice big pat on the back. You've watched your policies manifest and play out to the absolute final plan on all of it, and this is the end result. Trump is cracking down on crime. He's doing a great job in Washington, D.C., and I think it is incumbent on the Republican General Assembly to start doing the same thing in North Carolina. Cities, towns, municipalities acting and creating a situation where law-abiding citizens are no longer safe? Okay, no more money for you. Trump's cutting federal funding. It's time for the Republicans in the General Assembly to do the same thing. Let Josh Stein, let all these Democrats, let Jeff Jackson and everybody else complain about it and scream about it and sue the General Assembly. I don't really care. We're going to take back control of our cities, whether you guys like it or not, plain and simple. You obviously are incapable of governing. You're obviously incapable of doing the most basic thing that government is responsible for, providing a simple level of security, a simple level of safety for your populace. You are completely and totally incapable of doing that. And I hope Destin Hall and Phil Berger start rolling up to these cities and taking down the law. I'm over it. I'm done. So that's the latest that we are tracking this morning. Some legislation being introduced in the United States Congress dealing with cashless bail. Tim Moore, one of the co-sponsors of that, will continue to watch as that unfolds over the next couple of days. Not sure what today is going to hold in terms of continued reaction. Trump has spoken on it. We heard from Caroline Leavitt. Roy Cooper puts out his stupid statement on X. Similar situation with Josh Stein. So we'll continue to track it throughout the week and provide the latest right here on the Nick Craig Show and on our social media channels. Don't forget to give me a follow over on X and Facebook. You can the X handle at Nicholas M. Craig to keep up to date with breaking news around the clock. I do want to thank our great advertisers that make this show possible. The Law Group here in Wilmington. Reach out to Melissa Gott and her crew over at the Law Group, lawgroupnc.com, or give them a call at 910-251-6088. Well, that's going to do it for a Wednesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Don't forget, you can join us live weekday mornings a little early the next few days on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook, and 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. We're back here tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.